Welcome to the Garbage Pod. One pod, one load of garbage.
29 and 28.
I'm remanded in custody.
There's something really curious about this broadcast.
Hello everybody and welcome to this special episode of the Garbage Pod. Why is it special? Well, it's our 50th episode. Joining me on the show tonight should be the one and only
Edry Bullhawk Mallows.
How you doing, sir?
I'm doing very good, thank you, boss, and happy birthday seems appropriate. 50 episodes, congratulations, sir. You've done a grand job so far in getting the Garbage Pod to 50, and looking forward to recording another 50 with you, sir.
It's celebrations all round, really, isn't it, for both of us?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, obviously you're referring there probably to LFL Talk, which this year, that's my Legends Football League podcast, which has been picked up by the league this year, so we're going to be doing a show after every game day, so bringing you the usual news, player interviews and our opinions on the games that have unfolded. So really exciting opportunity and really looking forward to working with the league.
It's good opportunity for Spamhead Productions as well, because I don't know if you haven't heard the show, we at Spamhead Productions, we are the production team behind LFL Talk, and it's been brilliant working with you both, you and Marcus, and things are going to start getting interesting, aren't they?
Yeah, very much so. I mean, doing a show weekly is going to be fantastic. Obviously, it's going to be quite a bit of planning and quick turnaround, so always grateful to yourself, Spamhead Productions, for the great work you do on that podcast, and obviously contributing to how it sounds and the fact that it got picked up by the league because of how professional it sounds. It's not just the talent on the show itself, it's also about the post-production.
Now, before we carry on with the festivities, I need to apologise for not putting out a podcast in March. Now, we've been really busy putting together our annual Euros Night podcast, and as you know, we try and produce something spectacular each year. This year, you'll find the Euros Night podcast in its new home at our Science Facts and Science Fiction spin-off podcast, TGP Nominal, which you'll find on the menu at the top of the page. You'll find a tab there and it'll link you to TGP Nominal. So fingers crossed, we are going to bring you something really special this year. We've got some brilliant guests that we're going to be bringing you, and some others that we're hoping to be bringing you. It's no secret of who we've got on board. We've got Loretta Whitesides, who is the founder of Euros Night. She's coming on board to talk with us. We've also got the current chairman of the board of directors and president of Euros Night. That's Dr. Ryan Kubrick. And we've also got somebody who I really looked forward to interviewing, and that is Richard Garriott. Now, if you don't know who Richard Garriott is, he's... Oh, how can you explain him? He's a space explorer. He's a explorer of this planet. He's a video game developer. He's just an amazing guy. He's done so much. From, as I say, he's been into space. He's been to the Antarctic. He's been to the bottom of the oceans. He's travelled along the Amazon River. He's done so much.
Sounds like we're struggling for places that he hasn't been.
Yeah, pretty much so. And we're also, fingers crossed, hoping to get the band Public Service Broadcasting on. If you haven't heard of them, they're a band that uses clips from film reels, old news film reels and things in their music, and their music is very visual as well, in regards to the kind of Jean-Michel Jarre big screen, lots of images and stuff going on. And they've released an album called The Race for Space, and they have allowed us to use a track from that as our theme tune for Euros Night, called Gagarin, and we will play the song in its entirety on the podcast. We're hoping to interview these guys. Unfortunately at the moment, not unfortunately for them, but unfortunately for us, they're touring the globe, and it's logistically very difficult to pin them down to get an interview, but we're working on it, and hopefully we'll have that in the podcast as well.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic if we can. Great to be working with bands like that, especially with a track like that, with the meaning it has for Euros Night.
Yeah, definitely. Not only have I got Mr. Mallows on the line, all the way from the United States, I've got the lovely Laura LaRue. How are you doing, Laura?
Hi, Mark. Hi, Mr. Mallows. I'm doing great, and I'm excited to be on your show.
It's a pleasure to have you on board. It really is.
Thank you.
A lot of people who listen to the show might recognise your voice because your voice is on the show, every show. And also, when they log onto the website, that's the first voice they hear is your voice. So
I feel so close to you all.
You've been a supporter of ours since the word go, and as it's our 50th show, I thought it would be a good opportunity to get you on the show because we've been talking about it for a long time and it's finally come to pass. So yeah, welcome on board.
Well, thank you very much. It's lovely to be here.
What have you been up to recently?
Well, I'm working on some new music and working on a side project, a musical side project where I'll be doing a little electronic music in Spanish. I guess we can call it Latin electro, I guess. And so I'm writing some top lines, they call them. I'm writing top lines for some music that my co-writer is sending me over. And it's been, you know, kind of like you. I mean, I expect you to be on your headphones most of the day. And that's kind of like me. But so, yeah, I'm just plugging away.
Yeah, you've been in the industry for a while now, haven't you?
Yeah, I have been knocking around and just trying to do my own thing, trying to find my own way independently without having to be a part of the business, I guess. I like it better that way.
I think these days it's easier to do that because there's a lot of more independent labels, I guess you can call them, but they're kind of homegrown labels. But with the connectivity of the internet, the interactive side of it, it makes it a lot easier.
Oh, it's so true. You can send music across the world. I can send a vocal track anywhere and I can get anybody I want to mix it. So yeah, it's really changed the game up, which is a good thing.
I seem to recall you doing that, actually. I think it might have been in the Trois. You just put the vocals up for people to download and said, if you want to remix the vocals, then feel free.
Yeah, it just seemed like something fun to do. And, you know, we got some really interesting music back. And it was, you know, something different, you know.
Yeah, it's amazing because there are so many what I call, I wouldn't call them bedroom DJs, but there are a lot of, you know, they do things from their own establishment rather than, as you say, like an organised label. And the quality is just unbelievable.
Yeah, well, there's some talented people.
Your music has changed quite a lot over the years, hasn't it?
Yeah, you know, I think we're continually experimenting and, you know, just wanting to try new things. And as soon as you record something for your musician, I think you're kind of done with it. You kind of want to move on and write something new and produce something new. And you don't release, at least we don't release very often. We have a lot of material, but we're, I don't know how else to put it. I guess we're just trying to be more selective about what we put out because we're doing it ourselves. It's very expensive to put out on certain levels, you know, at least when we're releasing through the dance world, when we're releasing EDM, you know, we need to pay for remixers and, you know, we have to pay for all sorts of little things here and there. But, you know, you want it to be spectacular. So in between those bigger releases, we might put something out that's a little more, as you say, folksy. Like we released a couple of remixes last year of acoustic. We call them acoustic remixes of some songs we put out. And they're just a little more mellow, maybe a little more melodic, just a little different. And, you know, just trying to mix it up, literally.
That's what it's all about, really. I mean, as you say, you give yourself a bit of a gap between releases. But that also gives the opportunity for the DJs to come up with new arrangements of your music. And before you know it, there's loads of different versions.
That's true. And I mean, there's just, let's face it, there's so much music out there. I guess Beyoncé can get away with releasing a whole album or someone like that. But you can't listen to everything. I mean, I love music and I can't possibly listen to everything that I want to. I don't have the time. Maybe, one song here and there works great for us.
You've been featured in lots of different playlists, haven't you? A lot of DJs' playlists. Mm-hmm. I've noticed when you're on like SoundCloud and you pop up, there's a playlist, and all of a sudden I go, yeah, I recognize that voice.
Oh, I love that. Well, that's the beauty of it. I think these DJs are so great. They make our music their own, and they make these interesting playlists, and it just keeps the music new. They just keep it going, and I love DJs for that reason.
Yeah, there are some very talented DJs out there. Mm-hmm. I know you've been to a few of the dance music get-togethers that they have, mainly in the States these days, actually, because they have the what do they call that thing in the winter? Is it just called the Winter something or other, isn't it? Normally it's held in Miami.
I think you said it right, Mark. I think you said it's the Winter Conference. I think that is what they call it.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
I think it's just the Miami Winter or Winter Music Conference, something like that.
Yeah. It might be the Winter EDM Conference, actually. I think it's something like that.
I haven't been to it myself, although 3 years ago I went down to Miami at the time that event was occurring. Hmm. And my manager was going to all the events, and he invited me to go. And I don't know, I just found some other really cool things to do. I mean, there were some cool parties going on, and then Madonna was having a party, and she was rumored to appear, like maybe she would appear. And so me and my girlfriend went over there and checked that out. And we never made it to the actual EDM festival. So, it was Miami. What can I tell you?
Yeah, there's always parties happening in Miami, that's for sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So.
But the amount of UK DJs that go over there, because it's, winter over here is pretty grey. So let's spend a few weeks in Miami. Why not?
Oh, yeah. I get it. I mean, my goodness. Yeah, that's a fun town.
I mean, one of the top DJs, I mean, everybody knows Norman Cook, or otherwise known as Fatboy Slim. He does a lot of his tours based around other events that are going on. For example, last year he did part of his world tour in Brazil just in time for the Soccer World Cup. He just happened to be out there when it was on. He'll probably be doing Brazil next year when the Olympics are on. It just happened to be in Rio.
How clever. That's the way to do it. I like the way he rolls.
But he does a huge, and it's a free concert he does every year in his hometown of Brighton, on the beach. The council, the local council, were complaining about the amount of garbage that was on the beach, and he literally pays for teams to come and clear it up afterwards. So he just wants to give something back to his hometown, and he does it every summer.
I had no idea. What a sweetheart.
Crichton, what are you doing, man?
Oh, sir, I'm listening to the Garbage Pod. It's a podcast I found in the podosphere.
I can remember listening to Richard Vobes back in the day.
Yeah.
Remember that, Mark? That's how we came to know one another.
Definitely.
And you were saying back then, I'm thinking I'm going to start a podcast, and I'm thinking about it. And wow, you really made it happen.
I just wanted to let other people know about other people's exploits as well as my own. And that's why I try and get as many different people on the show to try and get the word out, really.
You're an amazing guy. That's why we love you, Mark. You are just...
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah, because if it wasn't for you, Mark, you know, I wouldn't be podcasting at all. I'd still be wondering how I'm going to get more. I'd have just been still blogging and keeping it to that rather than getting the podcast done as well. But obviously we know the successes that's starting to have. So tip my hat off to you. Thank you, sir.
Jeez, that must have been around like 2009. That would, yeah, it would have been about that time because it's when you bought out the your first album.
Oh, yes, the French 75.
Yeah, because Richard was promoting that on the show.
That's right.
I think I described your album as being Parisian chic. I think that was the words I used.
Yeah, I think you did. And yeah, I mean, that's kind of what we were going for at that time. You know, more loungy sounding.
Yeah. But each has a sound on that album alone. Each of the tracks were completely different from each other, which is what I like, because sometimes you get an artist and it sounds like the whole album is a continuation of the same song. And it's like,
right,
yeah, why did you do that? An artist that springs to mind that changes and evolves every time they release a record, and that is Bruno Mars.
Yeah.
And the fact that he can play pretty much every instrument there is going.
That helps.
Yeah. Very talented. He's kind of like a young Michael Jackson, really. He's got that showmanship about him.
Uh-huh. He reminds me of James Brown, too, a lot.
Dances like James Brown, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Well, I was actually going to throw Prince in there as well from the fact that he plays so many instruments, so we can kind of give him this little combination.
That's funny. Yeah.
Just how talented he is. He is phenomenal. Whenever I see him, and when he played the Super Bowl halftime show, it was just amazing.
What he managed to fit in, what was it, 13 minutes or whatever it is you've got to play, he managed to fit so many tunes in one mm-hmm. segment. Yeah, he is an amazing artist, and everybody wants to work with him at the moment, it seems.
I mean, he's hot.
I mean,
right now, for sure.
I mean, definitely with when you've got a producer like Mark Ronson behind you as well, with the Uptown Funk is just... an amazing track.
Yeah, he's got a great sound.
That's the thing, because he can go from R&B to the blues. He can do rock. He can pretty much any kind of genre. He can do it.
Yeah, so for me, I was just going to say, I'm thinking of Uptown Funk, whether it's just because I always envisage the dancing to it being like The Time and Jungle Love. It just seems to have that kind of feel to it for me, that kind of style of song.
Actually, now you're saying it, his style, I can see a bit of Morris Day in there. Mm-hmm. I can see that.
It's no bad thing.
Oh, that's awesome. Not at all. No. But yeah, I mean, he's got, style. That is the perfect word. You know, he's a great entertainer. You know?
Once again, we go back to Prince. but you can take steps back to Prince through most artists. I've noticed that.
Is that because they've either covered something of his, he's written something for them, or he's worked with them, basically?
I don't know if you know this artist, Laura, but he's been around since the 1950s, a guy called Cliff Richard.
Oh, yes.
And he's even got a connection to Prince.
No kidding. Is this a 7 degrees of Prince thing you're talking about?
Kind of, yeah. Yeah.
Sounds like it, doesn't it?
My goodness.
His connection to Prince, okay, is that he did a duet with Janet Jackson on her first album. Cliff Richard, believe it or not, did a duet with Janet Jackson. And Janet Jackson was on Flight Time Records and produced by Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis, who were in The Time. And there's your connection to Prince.
Oh, my. That is very interesting. Very incestuous. My goodness. Yeah.
At the same time, mind blown. Wow, Cliff Richard and Prince.
Yeah, I never would have figured.
Well, the people that were supposed to work with Prince, I mean, Michael Jackson's Bad was supposed to be a duet between Prince and Michael Jackson.
No, I never heard that.
Yeah. So they were kind of arguing with each other on the track. Yeah, it's actually on the CD of the special edition of Bad, there's some interviews with Quincy Jones on there.
Yeah.
And he's talking about it on the CD. And basically, Prince took one listen to the song and said to Michael, "You don't need me on this. It's going to be a hit without me."
But that's not the point, Prince. Come on. Oh, my God. That's a terrible loss. That could have been really epic, as they say.
One of my favourite tracks that Prince has appeared on and doesn't get as much recognition as it should is actually on Madonna's Like a Prayer album. And it's called This Is Not a Love Song. And a duet with Prince, and it's awesome. Ugh. He's also appeared on a Kate Bush record, believe it or not.
What? Get out. Oh, no, you're right. And I should know this because I love Kate Bush.
It's on the Red Shoes LP.
Oh, yes, yes. Is it Why Should I Love You?
That's the one.
Oh, yay. Ding, ding, ding.
I knew as soon as you mentioned it, I'd know which one it was.
Good. Oh, good.
First one that comes up when I Google searched Kate Bush and Prince.
Tell you another thing about it, Adri, and this will surprise you.
Go on.
As I say, Kate Bush and Prince on the same song.
Yep.
Backing vocals by Lenny Henry.
Oh, wowzers.
What? Oh, my goodness. I love Lenny Henry, by the way. Chef Lenny Henry.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. I love him.
Okay. He's actually a very good singer. Lenny Henry is a very good singer.
Well, he'd have to be. I mean, to get together with those two.
How do I know that Lenny Henry was on there, apart from it's in the production notes, is that he actually told us when I went to see him at one of his gigs, and he actually told us that he appeared on this track, and he played part of it over the speakers at the concert.
Oh, my gosh.
And he kept going, "That's me, that's me."
In true Lenny Henry style.
Funny.
It was actually a really good gig. It was called Cradle to the Rave. Not Cradle to the Grave, Cradle to the Rave. And it was all about music. The whole gig was about music that he grew up with and inspirations for him. And then halfway through the gig, it changed from a comedy show to a music show. And he brought out a band and he started singing all kinds of different styles of music. Wow. And everybody was on their feet. It was awesome.
Oh, God, that sounds fab.
Yeah, that was the one over here, Adri. It was over at Stevenage when he did the gig over at Stevenage.
Right. Okay, is that the one you saw before we went? Then I take it.
No, that was after. That was about 3 years ago now.
Right. Okay, also quite a recent one then.
Yeah. It's...
Now, why don't musicians do shows with comedians more often? I mean, that seems like a natural.
You would think so, wouldn't you? Because stand-up comedy, I don't know if it's the same in the States, but in the UK, stand-up comedy is the new rock and roll.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I'm so glad. I had no idea.
Stand-up comics nowadays in the UK are a really big business, aren't they, Adri?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, you have to look at like John Bishop and...
Okay, I'm going to pick your brain. Give me some names. Who should I look up here? Because I love comics.
Well, John Bishop is one, definitely, I think.
You might have to bear with his accent a little bit because he's from Liverpool.
That's all right. That makes it more fun.
Michael McIntyre?
Maybe.
Maybe.
I'm not his biggest fan. He's okay. He's no Eddie Izzard, but he's okay.
No, Eddie Izzard.
No offense, Michael, if you're listening.
Exactly. Yeah, thanks for that disclaimer, Laura.
Well, you might want him on the show sometime, so we have to smooth that over, okay?
Ed Byrne. He's really good live.
Who's this, Ed Byrne?
Yeah, it's B-Y-R-N-E. It's an Irish spelling. He's an Irish comic.
Ed Byrne, cool.
Trying to think of some other good ones. Obviously, Dara. He's a good comic.
Yeah, Dara O'Brien, yeah, definitely.
Another Irish comic.
How do you spell his last name?
Now you're asking. If you just put in Dara, D-A-R-A, Irish comedian.
is it spelled O'Brien but pronounced O'Brien?
I don't think it's the same spelling. I think it's slightly different.
Okay, well, there's only one way to find out, really.
I think. I'm not...
Oh, yeah, it's B-R-I-A-I-N.
That's right.
I believe. Is that the one?
That would be...
According to Wikipedia, it is. There you go.
Well, yeah. I'll leave you to trust Wikipedia.
Yeah, the world's most useful source of information that never comes from first-hand sources.
That's right.
Something I picked up from watching the newsroom.
That's so funny.
One of my favourites, and he's a bit... He can be a bit surreal, and that's Bill Bailey. Yeah.
Oh, and actually,
I like surreal.
I've just suddenly thought of one, because we're thinking of combining comedy with music. There's an obvious one that I've got a DVD of that I can't believe I didn't come out with straight away, and that's Tim Minchin.
He's not UK, though, is he?
He's not UK, but
he's Australian. He's Australian.
We can allow. Australian is kind of England. What, 7 degrees of separation?
He could actually be Bill Bailey's son, actually.
There you go.
He looks a lot like Bill Bailey. A young Bill Bailey, yeah.
There you go. See, now you can do that as your next research project. You can do 7 degrees of separation between Bill Bailey and Tim Minchin.
Prince, you got to throw Prince in there.
Well, Tim Minchin is he does a lot of musicals, doesn't he? He's
well, that's it. It's all musical comedy, isn't it? All of his songs.
But he's the musical director behind the musical of Matilda, Roald Dahl's Matilda.
That doesn't surprise me.
He wrote all the music for the musical. So yeah, very talented.
He may not be English, but he's definitely one that you should check out.
Yeah, talented. He's he is along the lines of his style of humour is very Eddie Izzard-ish.
Oh, cool. All right, I got his name down.
But Eddie Izzard is just. Well, not just for his comedy skills. I mean, the things he's done for charity. I mean, he did, 48 marathons in 52 days or something like that?
It was along those lines, yeah. It was upper 40s in 52 or 53 days, something like that.
Yeah.
Impressive.
Yeah. John Bishop, the guy we mentioned earlier, he's done a lot for charity in the same respect as well. I mean, he rode across France on a push bike, and then when he got to the coast, he rode across the English Channel to get back to the UK, and then he ran from the coast up to London to raise money for charity.
Oh my gosh. I'm tired just listening to you.
That's
tremendous.
Yeah, that's the thing we do in the UK. It's a thing called comic relief, otherwise known as Red Nose Day, and it happens every 2 years.
But didn't they do the big things that likes of John Bishop did? They did it for sport relief rather than comic relief, though, didn't they? Because it's kind of a off-spin.
Yeah, some of them they do. I mean, the ones that David Walliams did, he did them for both comic relief and sport relief.
Right. Okay.
But yeah, he's another comedian. You might know of him, actually, David Walliams. Do you know of a TV show called Little Britain?
Yes.
Yeah, the tall guy in that.
Oh my gosh.
He's done a lot of swimming for charity.
Oh, is that right? Oh, he's super talented. Well, they're both on that show, so talented. But
actually, the latest sketch they did for Comic Relief this year was unbelievable. I don't know if you know the sketch where he plays the guy who looks after the man in the wheelchair.
Oh, Lou and Andy.
Lou and Andy. Instead of looking after Lou, he was looking after Stephen Hawkins. And it was.
Oh, that's great. With the real Stephen Hawking?
With the real Stephen Hawking.
Oh, good God. That's hilarious.
And Stephen Hawking, at the end of it, gets really annoyed with Andy because he's been quite patronizing towards him. And he transforms. He turns into a transformer and gets his own back.
I need to watch this because I haven't seen it myself.
It's a brilliant one. It really is brilliant.
Gosh. That sounds great.
It's also.
Yeah, I'm going to be watching that after this interview. I'm
going to
find that.
It's also got Catherine Tate in it as well.
Oh, cool. Love her too.
She's not only as a comic, she's a very talented actress in her own right. So
is that right? She's been in movies, or is she on stage?
She was in Doctor Who for a while.
I think that's right. You're right. I think I saw that.
Yeah, she was Doctor Who's companion for a while. Very, very feisty as well she was. She was, being as she was a redhead, you expect that anyway. She was quite fiery. I asked you on Twitter whether you had any of your tracks that were your favourites, and I imagine they're favourites for a reason.
Well, I was thinking I would send you Free Love, because that just has a little soft spot in my heart, because for me that song really is just about breaking boundaries and standing up for yourself and speaking out and stepping into your power. So I think we try to make that come across in the video as much as we could, but for that reason, it's one of my favorites.
Shut up. Bluefin Yankee.
If I come into your pub, will I get a firkin of ale?
Certainly, sir. You can have a firkin pie, you can have firkin fish and chips, and watch the firkin football on the firkin telly. Bloody Americans.
Well, our barman may be a bit of a lad, but two lads you won't want to miss are Phil Clark and Mike Lingerfelder down at the Briton Yankee. Join them every fortnight in Chicago's very own online British pub, where you'll join in some good old pub chat and perhaps even enjoy a pint of your favourite ale. Check the boys out at www.thebritonyankee.com. And remember, no MP3 player or iPod is necessary. All you need is a computer and some speakers. So we'll see you down the pub, and until then, cheers!
Well, I have a conspiracy theory for you. I think that any song could be a hit if you just play it enough. I mean, any song. I just think, you know, it's what you said. It eventually, it becomes an earworm.
Yeah. I mean, there are songs. I mean, I'll listen to a song for the first time, and I'll go, I'm not too keen on that. Two or three times, and I'm like, hang on a moment. Actually, it's not that bad.
Yeah, it grows on you, doesn't it?
Welcome to my One Direction journey.
Oh, don't start.
Started off thinking, oh, no, not again. Now I've got like two of their albums on my Spotify playlist.
Oh, that's funny.
But I need to be picked
you.
Up. Just like they got me. They got me good.
That doesn't surprise me, Adri. I've seen some of the stuff in your collection.
Yeah, this is true. Yeah, I call it an eclectic taste in music. Other people may disagree. But it goes from like orchestral rock and Nightwish and Evanescence all the way down to One Direction.
Wow.
And everything in between. And there's even like bluegrass and things like that thrown in there. And cool. Like Steve Martin with, I think it's the Steep Canyon Rangers, he plays with, something like that.
Uh-huh.
And that's, I love that. I've got a couple of their albums on there, so...
Oh, wow, that's fun. You like to mix it up.
Yeah, absolutely. Depends what mood I'm in.
Look, there you see, that's it. That's the beauty of music. There's something for every taste, every mood.
100%.
With me, I mean, some of the music I grew up with, my dad drummed it into me pretty much. And he still does now. I mean, I was over at Mum and Dad's not too long ago, and a song came on the radio, and he's quizzing me on it, you know. He's like, right, who's this, what year was it? And
did you pass the test?
Oh yeah, every time.
Oh, that's funny.
That's why people say to me, we want you on a pub quiz, you know. We want you there to, I work it out, because I know you have them in the States, the now what I call music albums. I could usually work out what song, what year it was by what now album it was on, because we've had them for 30-odd years over here now. And I've got the first one, actually. I got it for one of my Christmas presents in 1983. There you go, now one, 1983. and that's where it started from, so I haven't got every single one of them. I mean, that's what we're now 80.
I think we're 89.
Something like that. So that's 89 albums over 30 years.
Oh, my God. You need to get yourself to Jeopardy.
There you go. Yeah, you totally should.
We've already used Jeopardy recently, though, haven't we, Adri?
The music. I think, yes, we have. Yeah, we have, actually. Oh, was that on my end of season quiz?
End of season quiz, yeah.
Yes, we did, totally.
we had a quiz on his American football podcast, and I asked the guys, because I was kind of playing Quizmaster, if you like, would you like some extra time to think about the answers? And they said, yeah, sure, okay. And one of the pieces of music... I chose was the Jeopardy music to give them 30 seconds of time.
It's classic. Nothing like a surprise quiz.
It was.
Oh, my gosh.
At least I managed to win it, though, being the host of the show. Yeah. I'd have
good
felt so
you.
Bad had I not won that. I think I got 6 out of 14, so it was still really bad anyway, but at least I won.
You got a few. But good for you. Way to go, Adri.
Thank you.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we always try and the end of year show is a little bit less formal. I can't really say formal, really, can I? Because it's not formal in any way, shape or form.
Not when one of the hosts is called Innuendo Bingo, no.
Adri's co-host, he's got a habit of saying things that could easily just come out of a Carry On movie.
Oh.
He's
that's a perfect way to describe it, actually, yeah, 100%.
So we call him Innuendo Bingo because of that reason.
And he doesn't even realise he's doing it. I sit there half the time. Well, actually, nowadays I don't so much. But to start with, that's like just bite my tongue. Just think, cannot believe he's just said that. Now I embrace it. It's his nickname or his show name. Just perfect. Laugh every time it happens.
And of course, one of my duties for the end of year show, through the whole season, I record any of the bloopers that they make on the show, and at the end of the year I produce a blooper reel of what they've said, and the majority of it is Innuendo Bingo.
20 shows worth of bloopers, basically.
Oh, that's excellent.
The last one, the one for this year is absolutely hilarious. We were just in tears of laughter. Trying to compose myself afterwards.
Well, I decided to mix it up a bit because the first year we did it, I just stuck the different bloopers together. This time round, I set it to music. So.
Oh my God, I want to hear that.
It's available.
Yeah, you should check. It's hilarious. Is it about 2.5 minutes, or would you say about 2 minutes?
It's about 4.5 minutes. Actually.
It's about 4.5 minutes. Wowzers, that's a lot of bloopers.
Oh my God, I can't. My mind is reeling.
You should check it out if you get the chance. Even if it's just that's all you listen to, just the bloopers at the end.
Well, I'll give you a link to it, Laura.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Actually, on the actual page, you can actually listen to the bloopers on their own.
Good work.
I've actually downloaded them to the web page, so you can just press play and just listen to the bloopers.
Oh, that's so great. It's a great idea.
You say that. But you're on the wrong end of those.
Like sometimes you have to just take one for the team, you know?
Yeah, I guess so.
It's for the greater good.
I'm taking one for the team. That's something Marcus would say.
You're listening to The Garbage Pod,
where your input is our output.
Sometimes, Laura, I've noticed what you put on Twitter, some of the meals that you've created.
Now, which look amazing, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
And I've never tried vegan food before, but looking at what you've been serving up, it looks amazing.
Yeah, well, you know, I think it's all in the spices.
I think that probably adds to any meal, really, is the seasoning.
What he was really saying there is, please, can you come and cook for us?
I'd love to.
I take it it's a life choice. Is it something that you've had recently, or is it something you've done for a long time?
It's something that, I was a vegetarian for maybe 6-7 years, and then I went vegan for 2, and then all of a sudden I fell off the wagon and I knew exactly what I wanted. I needed a piece of chicken.
Okay.
With a side of spinach, and that's all I could think about. And I finally just broke down, you know. I was telling everybody, I don't know what's wrong with me. It's just my body wants it. I can't even explain it. And I gave in, I had it, and it was, can you say orgasm on a podcast? It was like an orgasm in my mouth, and it was wonderful. So then I was off that vegetarian wagon for years and years and years. Then I guess about 5 years ago, I kind of went back into it. I started making these green smoothies, and I just became addicted to them. So you'd put in like spinach and a banana and almond milk and all sorts of yummy little things, coconut. And I kind of just fell back on the wagon. And then recently I've fallen back off the wagon again, and I'm eating a little more protein. Mm-hmm. I just kind of follow my inner insanity. You know, I just follow my cues. You know, sometimes I feel like my body needs something specific, and, you know, I just go with it.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, it's sometimes your body does need that little push sometimes, because it gets used to, if you're having regular things, it gets used to it. So if your body then detects something just a little bit unusual, your metabolism works a little better.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah, I would.
I mean, I need to lose a bit of weight myself. And I hate calling it a diet. It's got to be a healthy eating plan. I hate the word diet.
Yeah, I'm with you.
That's what Slimming World is, though. Something that I'm trying to get back on myself. But Slimming World's not a diet. It's just encouraging you to eat sensibly.
Mm-hmm.
And it never says you can't have anything, like you can't have carbs, you can't have that. It's just saying that, look, if you eat a balanced diet, try to cut a lot of the fat out and be careful about the way you prepare foods, then mm-hmm. you are going to mm-hmm. be eating healthier and start to lose weight on the back of it, because it's you're eating food that the body needs, as opposed to lots of fat, basically, or things that are very fatty or sugary is the other one, because you can't even basically blend fruits on the Slimming World plan because of all the sugars that are released when you blend the fruit. But
mm-hmm. yeah
that'll raise your blood sugar.
But at the same time, whilst it says you can't have that, at the end of the day, it's all about balance, isn't it? So you stick to the plan mostly, have a bad day, but then make up for it afterwards, kind of thing.
I mean, you can eat anything in moderation. Like you say, it's all down to the preparation of it. I mean, if you cook it healthily, then it's a lot better for you. I mean, I tend not to fry anything. It's either grilled. Thank God for George Foreman, I say. yeah, I do use the George Foreman a lot. Everything is grilled or poached or any other way apart from fried.
Mm-hmm. Good for you.
Yeah. Plus, actually, I've just bought a DVD, which you can borrow if you want, buddy, because there's four on it. It's the Jillian Michaels collection. So I've actually just started doing my banish fat and boost metabolism workouts.
All right.
Done a couple of those and just sweating buckets. Apparently doing like ab stretches is my rest, because I stand there doing like oblique crunches and that's my rest period. It's really weird. Or doing like mountain climbers on the floor, but because you're on the floor, it's that's another rest.
That's whole. So they just have you moving that whole time, but sometimes
crazy.
You're lying down.
That's it. But it's so worth it, because I couldn't get all the way through it, and I think obviously I know I'm out of shape, so that I wouldn't expect to do it all the way through first time. But mm-hmm. went through the full 55 minutes and did everything I could. But and by the end of it, just wow, yeah, absolutely great workout. You just feel so good afterwards as well, though.
I think what we need to do, fella, is I've told you about the Greenway walks, haven't I?
I think you have, yeah.
We've got a walk around the Garden City that's, in total, it's 13 miles, but you can do it in quarters. There are four different walks that you can do. Unfortunately, there seems to be a pub at the end of every single one of them, but
that's a shame.
The whole thing is pretty good. It's a pretty good walk, and it's also a nature walk as well, because you've got there's the lakes over at William, which are lovely, especially when the weather starts getting a bit brighter. So it's something we might have to consider. We can do that for the podcast, actually.
Well, I think rather than considering it, I'm going to go out on a limb and just say this, that by the end of the year,
mm-hmm.
we will have done all four walks, did you say
there
was?
Yeah, there's four, yeah.
All four walks. We will do those four walks, or we'll have to face a forfeit, which maybe Laura could pick for us if we don't do them. How does that sound?
I think we can probably do it.
And if we don't?
Ah. Oh, I do 90 lashes with a wet noodle.
I'm not doing it.
So, Laura, your second choice of song was Un Deux Trois. Why was that?
Because of the association with Laidback Luke, because he was kind enough to do that remix for us on that song. And that was just such a fun experience. So that also has sentimental value.
And it was one of the first ones that became pretty much commercial for you, wasn't it?
It was. And I think that was, again, thanks to Luke and his fan base and Tiesto, who started playing it on his college tours. And it was a really exciting time.
Yeah, when you said to me Tiesto was on board, I was quite amazed.
You know, miracles happen. You meet people and, I really can't explain, but I'm glad it did happen.
And the last thing I asked you was, do you have an artist that has inspired you at all?
Oh, gosh, so many. I'm in a bit of a time warp because, I'm thinking about Kate Bush, Elvis Costello, Patti Smith inspired me. The Beatles still to this day inspire me. George Harrison, oh, my God, I was...
Oh, Laura, you just said the words there because he's my favorite Beatle.
Oh, yeah, right? I mean, he had it all. He was spiritually minded, yet he was living in the material world, and yeah. He did that. He was a wild man, you know? It was like he was no saint, and which I love, you know, because that's not the point. You know, we're here for each other. We're here to experience life, you know? And they say it's a school. I think they're right.
Yeah.
Because that you can't explain this. It's a crazy world. But he was special. George was, like you said, you know, he's my favorite Beatle too.
Awesome. Well, once again, thanks a great deal for coming on this evening. Because, as I say, we've been trying to get you on for so long. And when you get this new project on the go, you're going to have to come back and tell us a bit more about it.
Thank you. I'd love to. And I'm just so grateful to you for having me on. It's so great to talk to you both. This was just a blast. And I want you to know, I had a really great time.
Well, that's what we try to do with our guests. We want them to feel relaxed and at home so they want to come back.
Well, you made me feel relaxed. And bless you both. I look forward to talking to you both again really soon.
Okay.
Thanks. And I love you, Garbage Pod. Everybody listen to Garbage Pod, damn it. It's fantastic. It's a great show.
Thanks, Laura.
Thank you.
All right. Bye.
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 Hello.
The Three Cuckoos Podcast.
You are here. You have downloaded us. Thank you very, very much.
That's an enormous moth. Final cut of the podcast. We'll leave it to the deaf member of the group.
Deaf member of the group, yeah.
Kissy Fur was pretty good gummy.
Kissy Fur.
Turn your fleece into a trendy gilet.
Hello, pets, and welcome to this week's how-to.
Thank you for the follow, Baratheon.
What? If I could turn back time.
Thunkings.
Higher.
I'm coming.
Some cheese
and a pickle.
Cheese and fine wine.
Oh, it's the Three Cuckoos Podcast.
That's it for this week's Celebrity News.
The worst podcast item ever.
Tune in, iTunes, Stitcher, download us, subscribe us,
yeah.
Stream us.
Visit our blog,
because I do that.
Yeah, and get us at Three Cuckoos.
That would be a show.
So, welcome back to the Garbage Pod's 50th episode.
50? Can't be 50. You're pinching my median line, Mark. 50 is 2 times 25.
It certainly is, and I think the people out there can probably guess who's on the line right now. It's the one and only Adrian Silas, otherwise known as Dr. M. How's it going, sir?
Infamous Dr. M. I'm all right, sir. How are you?
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. As I say, it's our 50th episode, and we're trying to get as many people involved as possible, and who better to get on the show than the good doctor, especially as you've got something big that's something that's just happened and something that's just around the corner.
So, absolutely, no, thank you very much. Honored as always and privileged. I'm very happy to be on the show with you, so congratulations first on notching up the good old 5-0. And my story of 25 times 2 is 50 goes along the lines of this. 25 years ago, give or take a few days coming up, which leads us up to the 5th of April officially, 2015, I dreamt up the idea and the notion, after the joke, on the back of an envelope, masquerade. Who would have thought that little idea, masquerade, events, parties, fun, craziness, would have lasted this long? There's a bit of longevity for you. So there you go. 2025 is 50. You're doing your 50th. I'm celebrating 25 years. Oh, we are so young.
Now, you say on the back of an envelope.
Yeah. It was literally on the back of an envelope. The story is this, and I'm going to get a copy of Masquerade Reloaded, the document I've just finished, which has come out about, you know, the story of Masquerade, where it started, where it went, how I got into it, you know, childhood photos of me at school growing up, a quiet, shy aide, the party organizer, the entertainer, and where it all went. So I'm going to get a copy of that to you to have a look at your own time. You can catch the trailer and teasers on Vimeo.
Yeah,
I've had the Dr. M site.
I've had a look at that today, actually.
Well, we're here in Brentwood. Principal photography today. I know today's Friday the 18th of July, 2014. So the countdown is definitely on to the 5th of April, 2015, which actually marks exactly 25 years to the day when Masquerade was born. I'm going to go back over that in a bit and tell you the story of how and where and why. But in the countdown to that, Masquerade Reloaded, it's going to be a kind of an embryonic journey, spiritual journey in the life and times of Abe and Masquerade and all the various characters and Dr. M to where we're going. So today is kickoff day. No touchdowns today, just kickoff day, and away we go.
I'll put a little link to that on the show notes.
Yeah,
or I could even, or even embed it on the into the show notes page. So that'll be really cool. But what are you saying that about on the back of an envelope? I mean, some of the best ideas have either been on, you know, on a scrap of paper or a cigarette packet or a beer mat or, you know.
Absolutely. And you know what? That just boils down to one very, very important thing. And we've talked about this before, Mark, and I really believe, looking back on 25 years, it's true. Sometimes you can overplan. If there's any people starting up in business, starting up in whatever they're doing, you know, coming out of uni, coming out of college, eager to prove themselves, make their point, whatever, etc. Let me say this, and this is from personal experience, not advice that has to be taken. It's personal experience from Aidan Dr. M. I never knew that this was going to happen. In fact, because it was on the back of an envelope, an idle after the joke with a few bottles of wine, and someone said, well, you know, you're organizing your wedding. You and Lisa, you're doing it. Oh, that's a bit odd. Why don't you do that for a living? And I thought, yeah, okay, not a bad idea. And it went from there because I was actually working in medical publishing. I was a junior director in a publishing exhibitions and marketing company called FSG Communications with Brian Pearson, who was the nephew of the late David Frost now.
Oh.
And there it was on the Whitechapel Road. I was doing the sales, marketing, advertising, set up exhibitions, publishing in Africa, medical shows in Nigeria, Zimbabwe. But, you know, really, you know, had a great job traveling around the globe, setting up shows, looking after medical publishing, things to do with, you know, diabetes, healthcare, providing products and services into Africa. Brilliant opportunity, fantastic job. And I was organizing my wedding, the least time of getting married. And, you know, it just went from there. And I thought, well, you know what? I seem to have the skill set, a bit of sales, a bit of personality, a bit of charisma, and obviously lots of energy. I should do this. And off I didn't. And there you go. 25 years later, I look back and I think, my goodness, that was a stroke of luck. But it wasn't overplanned and it wasn't overthought through. It was in my back room at home at 1:30, 11, fax machine, no business loan, no business overdraft. Literally just took out an ad in a wedding magazine, which is how it started. You know, I was the archetypal original wedding planner, like Frank from Father of the Bride, you know. Oh, yes, let's have the sarms on the driveway and everything. Leather trousers I used to have. I was the kind of nutty, crazy guy with the unbuttoned shirt, hairy chest, a bit bald and a bit crazy. And people loved it. You know, it just goes to show you. It just goes to show you. When I said the unexpected, I literally meant it, Mark.
Yeah, definitely. And that's one thing I've taken on board since I've known you is just that, because the other thing that I've picked up along the way is, if you don't ask, you don't get.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I'd also kind of qualify that in another lateral kind of way, and you'll understand this from our numerous meetings and chats. You know, if you don't ask, you don't get, correct. But actually, if you don't do, it won't happen.
Mm-hmm.
And my philosophy was always to be first in and last out. By that I mean, client gave me a brief, had an event to deliver and do. I would be the first on site, first one up if we were in a hotel or on site, getting things done. And the last one to bed, or the last one at the bar, or the last one to go to bed from the bar, which usually ends up being quite messy sometimes in the early days. And you burn out your nervous energy and be there. So it was like, you know, my reputation was about getting the job done, getting it done on time and in budget, being creative, and actually putting in all those extra nuances and bits of, you know, the bit of positive energy, the smile, the non-belt and braces approach. Quite often in the early days, I go for a three-way pitch in the days when corporates wanted three companies to come and present the ideas. And, you know, I'd always get to the point where I was confident enough by the time I was getting in the business from the big names in the early days to say to the company, right, I'd like to go in and do my pitch third on the day. So they'd have, you know, A and B come in, briefcase, suits, PowerPoint presentation, fact, figures, budget, fine. They could do the job. They could show on paper, etc. And then I'd say, can I come in third of the day, in the afternoon, about two? Actually, can I have the room for about an hour beforehand? They thought, well, very odd, but we need some lunch. We've had two presentations. And I would dress the room and theme it. And you know, they'd turn up, waiting to have a pitch about maybe doing an exhibition or a conference abroad or a sales day. And I'd be, you know, Joe the Greek or, you know, Abdul from Turkey, and I'd serve them mint tea, and, you know, everyone would be in character, and they'd have a dancer and a performer, and they'd think, what the hell is this guy on? And they'd give me the job on creativity because they were so impressed and so refreshed that it was different. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't talking about budget or deadlines. I was actually presenting the creative that gave me the job. And that's how it went from there. And, you know, I've never really looked back because, as you know, it's the confidence in not just the ability of masquerade, and that doesn't just mean me. You know, masquerade is my team, is my crew, is my family. And, you know, they were together with me this weekend celebrating 25 years. We had an elaborate, stylish dinner at Daintyville House Hotel, which I'll come to and tell you all about, mm-hmm. and then the party. And it's the team that makes me what I am. I can't do it without them. You know, I can come up with lots of ideas and funky stuff, but actually I've got to deliver it. And when you're doing what you do on the scales that we do it sometimes, you have to have the confidence in the team and you have to know they can deliver for you. And it's a two-way street.
A man's a simpleton.
Is it Mark Taylor?
What the hell?
Don't encourage him.
Yes, Mark Taylor.
He's Mr. Know-it-all.
I taught him everything he knows.
Now, You talk about the venue. It's really strange because when I was mentioning to Adri about the venue, he's very familiar with the place because his brother was married there.
There you go. That's story number one. And you have given me the natural leading line as to why Daintyville, how Daintyville, and oh my God, Daintyville. Wow, look at that now. Daintyville House Hotel has an amazing history and story. I'm not going to go into all that because anybody could quickly go to Google and put in Daintyville House Hotel and check it all out and see the pictures and think, wow, glamorous, sparky, amazing. But weddings is their benchmark. They do 50, 60, 70 weddings every year. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the archetypal place to get married. It's beautiful. It's in the country, overlooking the Thames, Henley Marlow. They've got beautiful, glamorous rooms. They've got a license there. So you can have the wedding on site and the breakfast and dinner there and the entertainment. But guess who recently had the two wedding parties come together at Daintyville House? George and Amos. So there you go. The Clooneys had their two wedding parties together for the informal part after the, you know, the big onslaught in Venice, which was amazing. And George and Amal had their do there. They had their reception in the room that I used for dinner for the team and crew, which was set out with a banquet table for 46 people with elaborate candelabras and beautiful air and Seb's jazz band playing and, you know, a fantastic three-course menu with amazing wines. In fact, I said in my opening introduction speech to Anthony Cox, my good friend, who's the general manager, which is your other hint and clue as to why I used it, it's always nice to have a place and a person in the right place, isn't it, Mark?
Certainly is.
And when we chose the menu and the wines to match, because it wanted to be elaborate and stylish to repay the team and crew for what they've done to me, I chose the two wines that the Clooneys chose for theirs. Nothing too flash or expensive. A good Chablis Marronnier, a lovely white, to go with a smoked salmon starter. Mm-hmm. And then for the lamb, with all the trimmings, a Chateau Muzard from Lebanon. And that reflects the wonderful Lebanese owner who owns the Ainsworth House, Salim. So we're in good company, you know, it's a great place. We had an amazing night. And the Andy Mitchell Funk Band played live.
Of course.
You would have loved it. They played all your favourite standards. Seb guested on sax with them on Street Life and This Masquerade. And we had Wayne and Perry on bass and drums, who backed Billy Ocean. I had Jason Silver, who's been working with Mark Ronson and runs the Sensation Band. Andy singing himself.
Mm-hmm.
And Tim on guitar, who's played with Swing Out, Sister, and just about everywhere else. So great night, great party, cut the cake. Picked up a very large bar bill.
I can imagine.
M25 cocktail. Yeah, I looked at it today, and I didn't fall off my chair because I was expecting a big bar bill, because I said to everybody, the bar's on me. And that's always nice to say it. Then you have to pay it.
The cocktail itself so much reminded me of the cocktail that was created for me when we went to Morello's.
Ah, yes, yes, yes. Well, you know, I did invite Martino to come, our great friend, the crazy Italian godfather chef. But guess what? Saturday night, guess where he's cooking? Yeah, yeah. That's right, Morello.
Yeah,
so it's very difficult because I could have ended up having, you know, quite a large number of people join us for the party after the dinner.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people do work on a Saturday night. They have got commitments. It's difficult. So hence the duality of the 25th year, the live event for family and crew and immediate dinner followed by the party for other people coming on. And we did miss you, but, you know, I know you were there in spirit.
Yeah, definitely.
And then, of course, this coming weekend on Sunday the 5th, which actually is Easter Sunday, so it could never have been a live event. We've got the virtual international check-in message, video, pictures on Facebook, Twitter and LinkedIn, whatever else, to send a message to Dr. M, because some of that stuff is going to end up in the book.
Oh, wow.
So we've even got a chapter in the book now, the M25 chapter. So I said to me, M25, God, was it painful getting around to the hotel today? I said, no, 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 M25 is the code. Masquerade 25. It's not the motorway.
That reminds me, when I used to work for a radio station, and it was called Mix 96. And the reason why it was called Mix 96, obviously it was on 96.2 FM. I was working there in 1994, and we had people phoning in asking us what's going to happen when it becomes 1997.
I like it. Good one. But, you know, sometimes the simplest little item or code or reference can be the most confusing. So, you know, possibly in good, inimitable Masquerade, expect that expected style, someone might have thought, yeah, M25, like, is that a gun? Is that a secret 007 code? Has Vladimir Bolokov lost his marbles? Oh, Vladimir Bolokov was definitely at party. He was drinking vodka in bar till early hours of morning with San Sebastian, holding bar up 3:30 in the morning, and finally stagger his way to a hotel bedroom. And then the next morning, we all stayed and we had Bucks Fizz,
uh-huh,
for me, straight up, you know, because I'm hardcore, and smoked salmon, scrambled eggs and toast with lashings of tea and espresso. What a way to go.
I think I would have gone for something like Eggs Benedict or something like that.
Oh, absolutely. But you know what? I slept all Sunday afternoon. So it was a great party, a great night. There'll be some video and photos floating around freely, you'll see, in the next few days over Easter.
Excellent.
Lots of comments coming back on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and, you know, the whole build-up to it. And then, you know, come Monday,
mm-hmm,
the 6th of April, Easter Monday.
Yeah.
Yeah. Beginning of a new financial year. Beginning of a new chapter in Masquerade, you know, what does Dr. M do for Monday? As I say in the film, when you'll see it, does the journey continue? Does the dream continue? Do I carry on doing exactly what I'm doing with Masquerade Crusade, or do I do something new? And the answer, and start for 10 is, I'm never going to change. Don't be silly. I am going to carry on doing what I do. And there are some new ventures and new horizons, other things to do.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be opening a travel company with my dear uncle, IJ, who's been a world travel direction authority for many, many years, a few decades, in fact. He's 10 years older than me, so that means he's probably been doing it for about 40 years. And we're going to be looking at combining the masquerade touch, that kind of smooth, sexy, all-in-one, crazy direction touch, into travel. VIP packages and tours for people who want to have a special occasion. You know, you have a special significant birthday or special occasion for a family member, and, you know, Dr. M turns up suited and booted with his nice pochette and jacket and checks you in and whisks you into your VIP lounge with a glass of champagne, and your tour itinerary goes up on an exclusive website with funky videos. And, you know what it's like.
Yeah.
It's the masquerade touch. We've got to put that on the market and keep it going.
Definitely. Absolutely. Because I know there was a couple of avenues that you wanted to go down, because I know a little bit of philanthropy, you wanted to go down that route as well.
Absolutely.
So, you know, that's always good, isn't it? Because, you know, putting back into society, if you like. Some of the greatest people out there have gone down that same route as well.
Well, I don't want to sound cliche-ridden, but you know me and I know you, so this is from the heart, and it's as we talk, so you're recording it as it comes out. It's not rehearsed or scripted.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone listening, you know, who doesn't know Dr. M thinks, who's this crazy guy? He's kind of, you know, he's reading this off an autocue. No, this is from the heart. I have been lucky and privileged to have many, many things in my life happen to me for good reasons. There have been some difficult and uncomfortable times on the up and down journey. That's the roller coaster. That is life. You can't get away from that. It will happen to everybody. Good things, bad things, life, death, loss, you know, inevitabilities that happen in your life. It is not about what happens. It is about how you deal with it. It is about how you define that journey, what mentality you have towards it, the strength and the confidence you have, and most of all, the way you hold yourself, the dignity, the integrity, and the respect. That, I believe, is the benchmark of a man or woman. And for me, the next stage is to put all that together, put something back in, still have the fun, still the crazy stuff. But here you go, Mark. Here is a world-exclusive first. You're the first person to hear it officially out there, apart from a few family and friends and accountants and legalities around me who've heard it and said, okay, that sounds good. The new working title after Masquerade and Cazade, which will continue because they are brand names,
yep,
is By Dr. M. By Dr. M.
By Dr. M.
Dot, dot, dot. Because what does that say to you? It says, By Dr. M. And it's a bit of a play on By BYE Dr. M, because I'm not going anywhere. So it could be Podcast with Mark By Dr. M.
Because you can
jacket.
Literally.
By Dr. M. Everything's By Dr. M.
Put anything in that equation.
But there's the play on words. BY as opposed to BYE, so I'm not going anywhere, and BY as opposed to BUY, because you can't buy me. And you wouldn't buy. Can you imagine going to the shops and buying a soft, cuddly Dr. M toy? Oh, my God. It would be bald. It'd have, like, a stylish jacket with a pochette. You'd squeak it. You'd go, expect the unexpected.
But I just got this impression of it now being a bit like the meerkats, you know, with the Russian accent.
Absolutely. Well, Alexander Mirkov. Very, very nice. Yes, Sergei. You tell Andrei. Yes, Sergei. Baby Oleg. I think a baby Oleg. Listen, whoever created Alexander and the whole meerkat thing, part of that, they're sitting on a bloody fortune. You know, inevitably, that was an idea, I bet you, that just came from, like, knocking about over a drink in the back room.
Yeah.
And someone thought, yeah, meerkats. I mean, I've got one on my desk now. How bizarre is that?
I've
got a meerkat statue on my desk. I've got Caesar's bust. I've got a couple of other kind of tributes to various philosophers. But, you know, there is the meerkat. There is the polar bear.
Okay.
I don't know why the polar bear. A deep psyche there, Mark. Work it out. What's the polar bear got to do with it? Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure that
one out.
Probably
because he's cool.
Yeah.
Probably because he's quite cool, actually. Yeah, he's kind of big and cool and fluffy and he's a bit like a yeti, isn't he?
and stands on top of a glacier mint.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, boxes, yes.
Yeah, I must admit I've got some weird and wonderful things around my desk at the moment as well.
Blast off into the podosphere with TGP Nominal.
And coming up to 50th, well, that's a special occasion. You know, that's kind of, the podosphere is being relaunched. The Masqueradosphere, the podosphere, go into orbit and super hyperdrive. Super hyperdrive sounds good.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it is, with the Garbage Pod as a brand, it's expanded quite a bit now with TGP Nominal on board as well.
Absolutely.
And I must admit, at the moment, TGP Nominal is taking up a little bit of my time with the preparations for the Yuri's Night event that's coming up soon.
And that's very soon, isn't it?
Yeah, it'll be over the 11th and 12th of April.
Yeah, I signed up for it on Facebook. I'm there with you.
And the people that we've got on board this year are just absolutely amazing people. One of them is actually an idol of mine, so it was kind of difficult to interview someone that you really, really look up to.
I know, it is difficult, is it? Because it does put you on the spot. Of course it does. It's the way we're constructed and built. You know, we do have this thing in our emotional mindset called, you know, being a fan or being an advocate or, you know, following someone, and it happens, you know, and inevitably that's where that comes from. It's that kind of sense of, oh, well, I'm talking to or I'm standing with or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
My amazing masquerade moment of standing in the lift with and then realizing who I wasn't even on a masquerade event. Now, here's a real story. So on the one occasion when it should have been a masquerade event, and it should have been, oh yeah, I'm running the event, and I'm in the lift with, oh, hi, how are you? And like, yeah, you're here for this. It was like, it was Karen's son's 13th. And I got in the lift at the Dorchester on the way up to the room, and in walked Martin Scorsese.
Wow.
And I was in the lift with a young Sebastian, who wasn't well that night, actually, taking him up to the room because he was unwell and trying to get him down early on the podcast. It was Martin Scorsese in his dinner suit, inevitably looking like Martin Scorsese in his dinner suit with his big ring glasses. He'd just come back from the BAFTAs and won for Gangs in New York, and I just looked at him. It was before the time of selfies and cell phone pictures and all that, and I said, good evening, Mr. Scorsese, and shook his hand, and how do we do tonight, sir? And he said, we're doing very well indeed, thanks, and how are you? And it was like a 30-second, it was like the elevator pitch, like he couldn't get the chance to kind of go, hang on a second. And there it was. And I remember Seb saying to me upstairs, Dad, who was that kind of American guy you were talking to? And I said, son, one day I will explain to you. And he now says, God, one of my favourite film directors. I can't believe we were in a lift with him. But there you go. True story.
Oh, wow. And the only one at Spring Support, it wasn't with me. It was with my mum and dad, actually. And it was... Mum and Dad had just gone out for the evening, and my mum heard a voice swearing, and my mum thought it was my dad, and she turned to kind of tell him off for swearing.
Yeah, and thinking it was him.
And it was David Jason. And
very good.
And she did have a go thinking it was my dad, and his words were, I'm sorry, dear, I am a plonker, aren't I?
Oh, yeah, those magic moments when we all do get caught in those magic natural moments where, you know, we're on the spot, we're with someone, we say something, we're not sure what's going on. And that's the beauty of life, you know, it's part of the plan. Not everything can be super, super slick and on the ball, you know, it doesn't even happen in my events. Yeah, there are mistakes always. And someone said to me, you've never made any mistakes in your life, have you, in your events? I said, of course I have. I've made hundreds. But guess what? I've just become very good at covering them.
Sometimes you don't need to, though. Sometimes the mistakes make the evening.
Absolutely.
Yeah, as long as you are being honest about yourself, when it happens, it sometimes just flows, and you just got to go with it sometimes.
That's it. Follow your instinct, follow your heart, and expect the unexpected.
So some of these photographs that you've kindly sent to me earlier today, there are some amazing shots. I mean, the usual...
like I said, the usual masquerade Loki event, yeah.
I mean, you know, when you sort of get to the front door, as it were, and there's people in these... rather strange outfits on stilts and all that kind of stuff.
Steampunks on stilts, eh? Days of hell. But you know what? Because you missed it, because you weren't there for M25, because you weren't there for the premiere of the film, which got screened that night too, don't despair.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. M has something up his sleeve, because there will be the Dr. M aid memoir book, Expect That Expected, following on in September. I did it as a double hit this year. Film, M25, and then the book. I was going to do it the other way around, but I thought, write the book after the film and after the M25, because I've got reflections then on my 25 years. I've got pictures from the night. I've got stories that will have brewed from the few months down. So Danesfield House Hotel September will be the soft book launch of Expect the Unexpected and Aid, ADE memoir. Ooh, terrible pun, I know. But... you, sir, will be invited to come to Danesville. There'll probably be a lunch, a soft launch with the book, and I'll give a little chat, maybe some photographs, some exhibitions, some photos from the book, and I think we should give you world-exclusive rights to podcast live from the book launch. How about that? I think that's a date to be arranged in September, but Danesville House, and you can come, and as I said, if it's good enough for George, it's good enough for Aid and Dr. M, it's good enough for Mark.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
Good stuff. I shall keep you posted on that.
Excellent.
And bring Alan down. I did contact Alan, but he's been so busy with his stuff, so I didn't hear back from him. But I know that if Alan's around, he'd love to come, because he's doing a wonderful thing now, isn't he?
Amazing stuff. He's doing some great stuff. I'm helping him out a little bit on things. He has got another project on the cards. All I'm going to say to you about it is that it's a crowdfunded affair.
Fantastic.
So watch this space, basically.
No problem. I know you do a lot of mutual stuff with each other and help each other, and he is the voice of, you know, one lot of garbage. It's that Alan Taylor Shearer voice. But, you know, happily, once you've cut this and put this into your segment and clip for your show, feel free to give him the link or whatever, and he wants to kind of use it or pull up at it, more than happy. He's a great guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's a supreme podcaster and a great journalist, and I've got a lot of time for him. I haven't seen him recently or heard from him because he's been very busy, but, you know, one hell of a guy.
Yeah, he definitely is. And he's, like yourself, he's been quite an inspiration to me on the broadcasting side of things, because
yeah.
I've learned a lot of skills from Alan, and Alan's learned a lot of things.
He's
from
a
me
very,
as well.
Very clever man. And guess what? He's also come face to face with the Yeti.
He has? Oh.
He has come face to face with the Masquerade Yeti and photographed it. And you should say to him, "You met the Yeti at Masquerade and you're still alive." I'll have to tell you that story.
I can imagine. Well, I can only imagine, really.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we've got some plans afoot, maybe not next year, maybe the year after. We want to make an official Yuri's Night event rather than just a podcast. We've got some feelers out where we're getting some people together that understand how these things work, and hopefully we will have a proper event within the next couple of years.
And if you do that, I'll be delighted to help you out and, you know, come on board and help you as part of the management team and creative team producing the live event. Who knows? Maybe we should kind of, you know, go into space for it.
Oh, that would be great, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. Or, as I saw from a TV American series that was on, it was three parts in January. Now, I forget the name of it. It hasn't come to me. but it was an amazing story about something from the Kennedy era. So it was a bit of a spin on something that happened in the Kennedy era. They fictionalized it about a group of people that got launched into space on an experiment, and they thought they were going away for 100 years into space. But actually what they did is they put them in a pretend spacecraft in a hangar and made them think they were in space and built all around it. So it was like they weren't really in space. They were still on Earth in America, but they thought they were in space. I can't remember the name, but it was brilliant.
They did something similar here in the mid-90s. It was made by the people who did Big Brother, and it was called Space Cadets. And basically, they advertised in the paper that there was this project that they wanted people to be involved in, and they invited people along, and they got some psychologists in to see who was, how can I say it, gullible enough to believe some of the stuff that was being thrown at them. And they changed an old airbase in Suffolk into Star City in Russia.
Unbelievable, eh?
They had to go to Russia and get all light switches and anything that had Russian writing on it and things just to make it look like Russia. It was amazing. They had loads of actors as Russian guards. And
I remember the name, Mark, Ascension.
Ah, yes, Ascension.
Brilliant.
Yes.
Brilliant. Anybody out there, if you haven't seen it, you want to try and catch it on the internet or catch up, Ascension. Brilliant story, brilliant twist. At three parts, I was riveted. So who knows, maybe we should do a kind of a Yuri's Night, like you say, with all the trimmings, and actually people come on board a kind of a spacecraft feel or ambient event where they think they're being transported somewhere. Amazing. Who knows? Anything's possible, Mark.
Yeah, and depending on the venue, that could really happen.
It could, couldn't it?
Mm, very
much. There's food for thought.
I mean, yeah, I can see we're heading down a similar path here.
Absolutely. But that's always good. And, you know, with all that in mind, and with your Yuri's Night coming up, your 50th, the lovely Laura LaRue, please send her my regards.
Yes, yep. I will do.
Laura LaRue, one of my early and first mutual Twitter friends and followers in the days when Dr. M was just, you know, beginning to learn, understand it. You know, we're up to kind of, a, you know, 4,400 followers now, which is great, naturally hand-built over the years and between faith. I mean, I worked out the other day that between all my social media outlets over the 4 to 5 years across the board that I've been on, they've got about, you know, 10 to 15,000 followers now, which is amazing. But, you know, it's taken that time to get it. So you know as well as I do that when you see the Dr. M picture of the day, where it appears on Instagram or Facebook or Twitter, you know, it's handpicked, it's written especially at some ungodly hour, and it's always fresh and unique and different, and I will continue to do that. But tomorrow is April Fool's Day, so who knows what might happen.
Yeah.
Expect the unexpected.
Definitely. I'm going to see what prevails from that, I think.
I'm sure there'll be a few Twitter and Facebook fun people doing lots of stuff. You've got to be wits about you, haven't you?
Well, one of my favourite ones that I get every year, I get emails from a company called Firebox.com. And Firebox do weird and wonderful stuff that you don't really need, but you want.
Oh, yeah.
I think
I've seen it. It's kind of, you know, so I think, oh, yeah, let's get that.
And they will always send out a newsletter on April the 1st with items, and you think to yourself, are these real or are these April Fools?
You don't know. Maybe that's part of the fun.
I mean, one of my favourite ones from a couple of years ago, they had a dubstep ladder, which was quite good. They had, you know, they make these tents for going to festivals and things, and they look like,
yep.
There's one that looks like a VW camper. Well, they had one that supposedly looked like the Titanic and was to full scale.
Can you believe it?
That would have been massive.
Who knows what's going to happen tomorrow? Because obviously we're recording this tonight, so tomorrow is 1st of April, so I know that by the time we've done this and it's gone out, so the dates will change, but Sunday the 5th of April, 25 years of Mischief Masquerade, and Sunday the 6th all starts again, so keep watching, keep expecting and expecting.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting time, I think.
Very much.
Looking forward to seeing what the good doctor pushes into the podosphere as well. I mean, obviously, you're going to be working with us again at some point. So,
oh, yeah, looking forward to that very much. And my regards to all the team and everybody. And, you know, the Christmas special with the quiz and Nick Tan and Dan, everyone was great. So we must do that
again. Yeah, that was brilliant. I mean, we were talking about doing one in the summer last year, but Dan Thompson was a bit busy in the summer because he wanted to do... the actual playing some of the tunes that he's got in his collection. He's got some very eclectic collection, so I can imagine the kind of tunes that would have been in there. But I did actually catch up with Dan. He had a big event in his town of Margate, and I just happened to be in Margate, so I thought, let's hook up.
Why not?
We did a piece for the show.
Good stuff. Well, send in my regards when you see him and everybody and all the other members of the team and Adri and Al, and I'm looking forward to hearing this. So this is going to go out, when is it again?
I'm not 100% sure yet. It should be very, very soon, though.
Excellent.
That.
Well done on that. Congratulations on it. I look forward to hearing it. I'm sure you'll keep me posted on it. Well, it's been lovely talking to you, and I'm going to leave you with this parting thought. Again, a bit of doctrine and philosophy and, you know, oratory from the heart. If you want to go ahead in life and be something that you think you need to be, think about it this way. Is it what you really want to be? Is it who you really are? And most of all, is it going to take you on a journey to where you want to be at the end of the day? I've had the privilege, as I said before, and the luck, and hopefully some good choices, of looking back now at 25 years and saying, okay, despite mistakes and ups and downs, I got here the way I did, and I have no regrets about that journey. So take a few detours, have a few crashes, have a few breakdowns, you know, meander and take sideways, go backwards and forwards, but make sure that where you end up is far, far ahead of where you started. Don't end up behind the starting line, because then you're definitely going to have trouble. Definitely. Then you will meet the Yeti. And he is not a nice guy when you go back and see him. So go forward and move forward. And Mark, take it easy. Have a great April Fool's Day. Hoping to get any firebox firecrackers. And I'll catch up with you soon.
Yeah.
Expect the unexpected, good sir.
And here's to another 25, Adrian.
Yeah. Well done. All the best.
All right. Take care.
Bye now.
Bye.
Spamhead Productions are a small independent sound recording company based in rural Hertfordshire. We specialise in creating content for all your podcasting needs, whether it be field recordings, Fox Pops, or capturing the atmosphere during social events. Editing is a very time-consuming job, so Spamhead Productions are on hand to take away some of the burden for you. Just advise us on how you'd like your content to sound, and we will do the rest. We can even help you design and manage a website for your podcast too. Visit us now, spamheadproductions.weebly.com. That's spamheadproductions.weebly.com.
Well, thanks again to Laura LaRue and to Adrian Silas for taking time out to come on the show. It was absolutely brilliant having them both on there. I mean, we've been trying to get Laura on the show for such a long time, and yeah, she was a really entertaining guest, and as we mentioned there, we're going to get her back on the show to promote this new project that she's got coming up in, I think it was May. There are so many people that we could thank for the last 50 episodes, but it would take forever to go through everybody, so all I can really say is, you know who you are. And thank you very much for making the Garbage Pod what it is.
Absolutely, I second that as well. And of course, a big thank you to yourself, Mark, the boss, the gaffer, for introducing the Garbage Pod into my life, because through the Garbage Pod, it's got me into podcasting, and we mentioned earlier
you know, the successes I'm starting to have with that now. So a big thank you for inspiring me to start it and for allowing me to help out with the Garbage Pod.
It's always been a pleasure having you on board, because sometimes I need putting in check, and you certainly sort of question things when things are not going quite how they should be.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm here for, boss. We bounce off each other well, I think. So, but I'll always remember my place.
There's one person I do need to thank, and that is Richard Vobes, because if it wasn't for Richard, I probably wouldn't have even contemplated starting the podcast. He basically gave me a bit of a pep talk and said, you can do it. And, well, once again, he was right.
Yeah, absolutely. And do you know what? It's been an absolute pleasure when I've had the chance to speak to him as well, because he is a... what's the phrase you use to describe my dad? Salt of the earth?
Salt of the earth, I have to say.
A lot of the people, including guests that we've had on the show, are that kind of same natured person, very, very well mannered, and are quite frankly some of the loveliest, kindest and genuine people I've ever met.
The podcasting community are generally like that. Most of the people that I've met or done the cyber meet with have been absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, now we've reached 50 episodes, I'm sure it's kind of exceeded even your expectations, sir, and just proving, particularly with the Yuri's Night podcast, you know, we're making things bigger and better for that particular episode every year. The things we've done with going to the Space Centre and the guests we're getting on the show, just continually growing, and looking forward, as I said earlier, 50 more, and it'll be interesting to think what it's going to be like when we come to episode 100, the things we're going to have to talk about and reminisce about with the great things that we've got on the cards at the moment.
Well, I think with the kind of people that we are getting on the show, it gives us a bit of a foundation for networking, and from that all we can do is expand.
Absolutely, and hopefully I'm going to get the chance to do some more branch out Ball Hawk articles, and sounds a bit dodgy, I'm bringing over some innuendo from Spitball there, I do apologise, but I think you get the idea that, yeah, hoping to branch out and do a few more interviews myself, and yeah, and contribute more towards the Garbage Pod.
Well, yeah, you're always welcome to. I mean, last year that was a big one you sprung me with the Talk Under Town tour, and I've been meaning to get in touch with them again and arrange something with them maybe for later in the year.
You absolutely should, because they obviously the tours are year round, and their main tours year round with the High Society tour and their sort of general seeing the sights touristy type tour, but they have the different themed ones. So they had a Valentine's tour, I think they've also got the Grim Towers of London one, which I actually think that would be quite an interesting one to do myself, so whether we get to cover that or whether I just get to go on it, I'm definitely going to make the effort to do that this year. But again, yeah, sort of Halloween time, there's going to be opportunities there, no doubt, and I'm sure they'll be more than willing to accommodate us.
Well, they've actually said to me that we need to meet up and sort something out for later in the year, so yeah, that'll be good.
Absolutely, yeah, we can head down to London and I look forward to that. Actually, it'd be good to see them all again.
Yeah, definitely. Well,
as long as Freddie comes along as well.
For people not in the know, if you haven't heard the episode, Freddie is Freddie's a rabbit, isn't he?
He's the rabbit on the end of John's umbrella, and again, that may sound dodgy, but it's genuinely an umbrella that has a rabbit head handle.
Yeah. And it's basically the case of, if you get lost, look for the rabbit.
That's you never know where you may end up also.
Just hoping that nobody else has got one.
Yeah, well, that's the thing about it, isn't it? It does seem to be quite unique, so. As are their tours, to be fair.
Yeah, very much so, just from the audio alone. I mentioned it on another podcast that I had some correspondence from a listener who heard that episode and actually said, I feel like I should be paying for the tour.
No, well, don't pay us for the tour. Next time you're in London, look them up and actually go on one of their tours. That's what I would say to that.
Yeah, definitely. So I think that brings this festive episode to a close. Quite an emotional one as well. And Yeah, I'm just got to work out now what's going to be in episode 51.
Yeah, that's it. How'd you follow up a big anniversary episode? No pressure there, boss. Good luck.
Right, as I say, it's a pleasure to have you on the show again, sir.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you very much for having me.
And I'll speak to you again soon.
Indeed, Arino. Take care, boss.
Well, that about wraps it up for this episode of The Garbage Pod. Visit www.thegarbagepod.weebly.com for the show notes for this or any other episode of The Garbage Pod or TGP Extra.
Just look for the relevant tab in the menu. Let us know what you think of the show.
Send an email to garbagepod@virginmedia.com.
Because
your input is our output.
Or you can use the social media icons at the top of the website, which include Twitter and Facebook. If you would like to subscribe to any of our podcasts, you can do so via iTunes, the RSS feed, TuneIn and Stitcher On Demand Radio. Don't forget to review us and give us a 5-star rating.
You can also listen to rebroadcasts of all our shows on the Awake Radio Group. You can find a link on our podcast pages.
If you like what we're doing here, then why not buy us a pint by clicking on the donate button on any of the podcast pages, and don't forget to spread the word about us. Thanks for listening, and I'll speak to you all again soon.
The Garbage Pod is a Spamhead production.